The following program is paid content from the Organization Free Your Children. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of Free Your Children and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Kennedy Broadcasting Company, LLC, its owners, and management. Welcome in to Free Your Children, sharing truth and love about education. And here's your host, Tiffany Boyd.
Hello, welcome to Free Your Children on WKOM 101.7. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and our mission here at Free Your Children is to share the truth in love about education. There's a battle raging for the souls of our nation's children, and I hope this ministry equips you for battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. I want to thank Safe Storage for sponsoring today's show. If you have storage needs and you are in the Middle Tennessee area, you can find Safe Storage at safestoragetn.com. I also want to thank the Borough Pulse for sponsoring today's show. I am a monthly contributor to the Borough Pulse, and you can find all the articles that I have penned to date there on education at boropulse.com. Also, a very special thank you to our supporters of Free Your Children, our individual supporters. Your contributions allow us to be able to continue the work that we're doing here with Free Your Children, and we appreciate you very much. If you would like to know more about Free Your Children, you can find us at freeyourchildren.com. We have a website there with a toolkit that we have recently created that has several topics that I think many of you may find valuable. You can go there and check out that toolkit. There are links to articles and also links to radio shows about those specific topics. So I hope you'll go there and check that out. You can also find Free Your Children on X, Telegram, Facebook. You can send me an email at freeyourchildren@gmail.com if you would like for me to cover a specific topic, or if you have a question that you would like for me to attempt to answer. You can also find us over on Rumble. Free Your Children also has a Rumble channel. And Free Your Children, once again, has been busy with legislation. We are still in the middle of our legislative session. I think we will be winding down here in the next several weeks, so things, of course, are ramping up. We've been following HB 1183 and SB 0503. Of course, those are the Education Freedom Scholarship Act bills that we have, the voucher bills that are moving through the House and the Senate. So HB 1183 is not on the calendar yet, but it is slated for the House Finance Ways and Means Subcommittee. As soon as I have information about when that is going to be added to the calendar, I will be letting everyone know. The Senate Finance Ways and Means, it will be heard there April the 9th at 8:30 a.m. in Senate Hearing Room 1. For Your Children, of course, is opposed to this particular legislation. So if you too are in opposition to this, I hope you will join us at the Capitol as these bills are moving through committee. There's also a fake parental rights bill that Free Your Children has been following closely and we're very concerned about, and that's HB 2936 and Senate Bill 2749. The final version is SA0860. This is moving to the House floor and then to Governor Bill Lee. So I would encourage you to watch this bill closely, contact your legislators, and ask them to vote no on this particular bill. I shared some information yesterday over on Free Your Children from Connie Regulay about this particular bill and why we should be concerned about it. But we definitely do not want this particular piece of legislation passing in the state of Tennessee. Then we have HB 2922, which is a caption bill that was filed. And this particular bill, when you read the caption of it, it talks about reporting student allergies. But buried deep within the 275-page amendment that was filed with this bill is the crux of what the bill is trying to accomplish, which is the at-risk boarding charter schools. So this bill will be in the House Finance Ways and Means Subcommittee, House Hearing Room 3, on 410 at 10:30 a.m. in the morning. We are also asking our legislators to vote no on this bill. And this bill actually has bipartisan support, which, again, it makes no sense to me because the same Democrats that are voting in opposition to school choice or the school voucher bill are promoting this particular piece of legislation. And these at-risk boarding charter schools, if they are passed and open in the state of Tennessee, they will likely be registered as a Category 1 school and will be benefiting from the voucher program. So I urge you to contact your legislators and ask them to vote no on this particular piece of legislation as well. Follow For Your Children for more updates about legislation during this legislative session that deals with parental rights and educational rights in the state of Tennessee. If you have questions, feel free to send me an email, and I would be happy to try to answer those for you. But there are a lot of concerning things that are happening in Tennessee. These three bills are working in tandem with one another, and we're moving closer and closer to a big brother state. And I think Tennessee residents are largely unaware of how these bills are working in tandem and why they are so concerning for our state. But shifting gears here, I'm very excited about today's guest. I know that many of you will recognize her name. I have shared a good deal of her work over on both my Twitter and also over on my Free Your Children Facebook page. And so we are very honored today to have Lisa Logan with us today. Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you, Tiffany, and your listeners.
Well, I know that they will be blessed by all the information that you are going to be sharing with them today. Tell our listeners about yourself, Lisa. Some may know, if they follow For Your Children, they know exactly who you are. But if they're new to For Your Children, they may not be familiar with your work. So give us a brief overview of who you are.
Well, I think first and foremost, I'm a 44-year-old mom of three. I have two boys and a girl. Oldest is going to be 17 this weekend, and my youngest is almost 11. And so first and foremost, again, I'm a mom. I'm a citizen of this country who cares about what's going on, and that's how I got involved in all this. So I embarked on a bunch of research, you know, started putting it out there, sort of became a national name. And now, interestingly enough, I have people across the world reaching out to me who are finding my information about social emotional learning and the dangers of it. And I've made it my mission for the last 3 years to expose all programs that are basically trying to brainwash us to change our behavior surreptitiously to create a collectivist big brother state, as you just said. And I've spoken across the country for parental groups. I've spoken at think tanks. It's not something that I set out to do, Tiffany, but
right.
All of a sudden I find myself doing it. And it's because I care about this country so much. My grandfather was a World War II vet. I remember him telling me, I'll tell you a quick story, that he, he liberated the concentration camps. And when he did that, he would, they would make the townspeople surrounding the camp come in and clean it up. And he told me when I was young that they did that because they felt that they were complicit in allowing it to happen because they didn't say or do anything. And granted, yes, there's a lot of dangers in doing that, right? It was dangerous back then. I believe it's dangerous now. But when we see something bad, we have to say it. Something.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And we have to do something. And so that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, I like to say when we know better, we have to do better. And you're right. There are a lot of people that are afraid to dip their toes into doing what we do because there is backlash. When you start exposing narratives and agendas, especially when there's money and political motivations involved, you don't make friends. Have you received a lot of backlash about the work that you do, Lisa?
Oh, yes. From the left, of course, right? I'm exposing their agenda. But interestingly enough, mostly from the right.
Yeah, same
here.
For the
reason being that the things that I'm exposing, for instance, the social-emotional learning, you want to know who votes for those mental health bills that they bring in? It's mostly Republicans.
Absolutely.
People who we think are conservative. And granted, I think it's a psyop, right? I mean, I think it's done purposely. People use bleeding heart situations like this. where we really care about the kids and we want the best for them to sneak in these agendas. But, you know, obviously we were just talking about those voucher and ESA bills. And I have gotten so much flack from the right. And I'm like, I don't care, because if it's a totalitarian agenda and I know what they're doing and I've researched this extensively and I can show you, I can point to the literature, as you said, on my Substack. You can see that at lisalogan.substack.com. I have the evidence to back up my claims.
Right.
And the right doesn't want to hear it because this is a cash cow for them.
Absolutely.
And I think that I'm so glad that your show exists and that you're sharing this work. And we're all just trying to get the truth out about this.
Absolutely. I spoke about this recently, and the bills that I just mentioned in the intro here when we opened up, of course, all of those bills are sponsored by Republicans, every single one of them. And that's what we're finding in the work that we've been doing with Free Your Children over, you know, the last 4 years, is that the legislation that we're diabolically opposed to, the legislation we're fighting against, it's not coming from the left. It's all being initiated by the right. And so I shared something the other day, and I said, you know, if the truth offends you, so be it. Because this really rips the veil off of what a lot of people had been invested in and what they wanted to believe was going to be the answer to all of the educational issues. And what we're finding out, like you just said, is that what's happening is this has become a huge cash cow. And there's a lot of pressure in Tennessee right now. I actually just penned an article that dropped this morning about some of the major players that are involved in trying to get this legislation slammed through, you know, during this session. And you're right, there's tons of money involved. So what was there a certain catalyst, Lisa, where you just said, I've had enough, I need to get involved, I need to start speaking out? What was it? What was the one thing that really motivated you to get down and get involved in all of this?
Well, luckily it happened for me just in my own backyard. And I think actually the whole situation with the pandemic, I think, woke a lot of people up. I was asleep before then. I think it opened up a lot of people's eyes when what the policies that we were putting into place in schools were not matching up with the actual science of what was going on with the actual virus. So I started coming to school board meetings and speaking out about that, and just happened to look at an agenda of one of those board meetings. And I was like, what is this program they're bringing into schools? Mental health, you know, values, you know, empathy. What is that? Like, I'm the one who's supposed to teach my kid those things.
Right.
And so like any good researcher does, I followed the money. And the money led me right to the United Nations and their sustainable development goals, specifically SDG 4, which is quality and inclusive education for all. And I realized, you know, in my younger years, from about the time I was 16 to 23, I belonged to a cult. And I left that cult and kind of had an awakening in the meantime, kind of about how cults operate. And when I saw this material in schools and kind of how they were teaching it, and it just red flags all over the place for me.
Right.
The very start. And so I just started, you know, I joined some parent organizations here in Utah. I started speaking to legislators, the parent group that I was involved in. I ended up being on the news quite a few times and going to city council meetings and doing all these things. And so mom and I actually went into the administrative office, because that's kind of how you have to view the curriculum. And we decided we were going to sit down and take a look at the whole thing, because it's not something you can just, as a parent, go, I just want to see what my kid's learning. You have to go into the district office. You have to have an administrator log you in. Then you have to sit there for hours. And we spent 30 hours reviewing this curriculum, and we found kind of a smoking gun in it that caught a lot of media attention. And it was, they were directing children, so 12 and 13 year olds, to a website called loveisrespect.org. And this website is a sexual abuse website. So it's supposed to be like a hotline for that. But in the meantime, that had all sorts of crazy topics on it for 12 and 13 year olds, like what to do if your partner's blackmailing you, and five tips for your first time when they're talking about sex. And so the fact that we found that in there, like several times they're referring these kids to, it made this a huge news story here.
Right.
We're actually able to, the efforts of a lot of great parents in my district, kick the second step social emotional learning program out of our school district. Now, did we get social emotional learning out? No. I think your listeners need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Social emotional learning is baked into everything.
Yes.
That is in education now. It's baked into your college and career readiness standards. It's baked into the policies. It's baked into the assessments. And I mean, basically what the gist of what I want your readers or listeners to come away with is that this is a program that is measuring children's values, attitudes, and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are they teaching kids what the correct values, attitudes, and beliefs are, and who's to say that besides their parents, right?
Right.
Because all of these values are very leftist and very progressive. Teaching them there's more than two genders and that, you mm-hmm. know, all these different things.
And that it's fluid. And
Yes.
Yes.
And I even shouldn't say gender because I keep trying to correct myself. It is sex. We have
right.
two sexes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no gender. And so it teaches them all these things. It teaches them to have a very collectivist mindset. And then, you know, if you tie these two assessments and college and career readiness, we're then, you know, kind of setting out a target. This is the goal of how we want our students to think. And they continually assess and measure them to see how close they are to that goal. This is literally setting up a social credit system for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I have crossed the country talking about this. I have, I guess I was just a mom. I didn't know how to do anything. I learned how to edit videos and started a YouTube channel, Parents of Patriots. I got on Twitter because my friend Keisha King, who I met at FreedomWorks, I spoke about SEL there before I even knew about school choice and how they promoted it. but she was like, you got to get on Twitter. That's where the public square is. And so I started posting on Twitter at I am Lisa Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And made a lot of friends that really helped get my material out there. I have to give a shout out to James Lindsay because I know he's in Tennessee. He's a good friend of mine, and he has been a major pivotal role in getting a lot of parents who've been doing this grassroots research out to the public.
Right. Yeah. I have written extensively about SEL too, and really the basis, and correct me if you disagree, but I think that the overall agenda and goal behind this is to create the perfect global citizenry based on the thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors of what the globalists deem appropriate thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors. Would that be a fair assessment, do you think?
That is very accurate, Tiffany. Yes.
Yeah. And one thing that you said, and I've said this many times, is that used to be what the parents taught the kids. You know, the parents instilled the thoughts, behaviors, beliefs, and attitudes, you know, within their children, and it was just part of parenting. And now, you know, the whole push and the whole agenda behind all of this is essentially to replace the parents with the state so that we can create these perfect little citizens, and they adopt, you know, everything that UNESCO says that our population of school children, you know, should believe. And I want to get into that, exactly who UNESCO is, why they have such a pivotal role in education, and what exactly it is that they're trying to accomplish. But when you and your mom went in to look at the curriculum, was it digital curriculum that you were looking at, or was it textbooks?
It was both.
Mm-hmm.
They had an older program, and honestly didn't find very much. So when I first went in to look at it, they just put all these binders on the table for me. And I sifted through them for hours. I was by myself. This is before this other mom, Stacy,
mm-hmm.
helped me. She became a really good friend in the process. And so I went in for hours. I didn't really see, but I was like, huh, I don't know. And then I found out, and this is actually a pivotal part of this story, is because there was a teacher at the, so this was part of a 3-year implementation process.
Mm-hmm.
And our school was the last group of schools that they were going to put this in. And so a middle school teacher at my kid's school came out, and he, you know, is a very religious man. I live in a very highly Latter-day Saint community.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out and said, you know, this curriculum's anti-parent. You know, they have this opening introductory video where they're showing a BLM march, you know, Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
A candlelight vigil where people's been shot. You know, he said there's this whole, he came out very publicly because he resigned from his dream job as the choir teacher at this school.
Right.
And he's thinking to himself, too, I'm a choir teacher. why am I teaching kids about values, attitudes, and beliefs when they should be learning to sing?
Right.
And
yeah, you're right. It's embedded in everything. And we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to delve into that, exactly where it's embedded and why. And we're going to break now, and I hope you'll join us right back here with Free Your Children and our special guest, Lisa Logan.
Hey, this is George Plaster, and for the very best in sports, keep your dial on 101.7 FM WKOM.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC.
And I'm Michael Parks Lawrence at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC.
Together, we're Mr. Bobby Parks' grandsons, and we run his dealership, and we are glad to be part of our local community.
Being family-owned and operated, we invest heavily in our community.
We do things like sports teams, schools, bands, you name it. We try to help everybody we can.
The reason why we do this is because we all love this community.
So come do business with us, your neighbors, at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee, right off Nashville Highway, or at parksmotorsales.com.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. By now you all know about Don, our service truck guy. Well, let me tell you about another member of our service team, and that's Mike Ashley. He's the guy you'll talk to when you call the office. Just call and talk to Mike one time at 931-540-0919, and you'll see why we're lucky to have him here at the Garbage Man. Thanks, Mike, for all you do to keep the Garbage Man first in service. That's 931-540-0919.
Hi, this is Dr. Tui from the Dr. Gill Center. Has your back been bothering you for years? Can't play golf, pick up the grandkids, garden or exercise? Tried everything and nothing works? Call the Dr. Gill Center. We have successfully helped tens of thousands of patients in Middle Tennessee, and you could be next. Call 615-880-9774 and ask about our $49 special. That's 615-880-9774. Because back pain doesn't need to be a way of life. Call me, painfree.com.
People often ask about the initials after mine and Monty's names. Those initials are CFP, Certified Financial Planner. As a CFP, we will do our best to help you in the attainment of your financial goals while protecting those assets with proper insurance coverage. We encourage the team approach of holistic financial planning by working alongside your CPA and attorney. This is Gay Pike with Caledonian Financial in historic downtown Columbia.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through NBC Securities Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
If you've got a yard, you may plan on digging in it. Like to build an addition, put in a pool, or bury your pirate booty. But you should know that throughout the country, there may be pipelines buried underground. And if you hit one, you've got trouble.
Sorry.
So before you dig, call 811 to have any buried pipelines located and marked at no charge. For more tips on pipeline safety, visit pipesafety.org. A message from the Tennessee Gas Association, Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Calling all nonprofit organizations, the NASCAR Foundation has great news. The NASCAR Day Giveathon is back for 2024. What's that, you ask? It's a national campaign to help nonprofit organizations raise funds to support their local missions. By signing up for the Giveathon, you gain access to a national marketing campaign to build visibility and donations for your nonprofit at no cost to you. And as a bonus, special incentives and prizes will be announced along the way to help you maximize your efforts. Visit NASCARDayGiveathon.org to sign up today.
Welcome back to Free Your Children. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and we are joined today by Lisa Logan. Lisa, we're glad to have you here. We were in a discussion about SEL, and we were talking about that. That's social emotional learning, in case you're tuning in and you're not up on the acronyms. Education loves acronyms. And once, yeah, and once parents catch on to the acronyms, if they've realized that something may not be that great, then they just change the acronym. It's the same thing. They just change it. But we were talking about how you had gone in to review curriculum in your state. This was Utah, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you were looking at social emotional learning and how it was being embedded in the curriculum. And I asked you if these were textbooks or if it was digital curriculum as well. And tell our listeners what we were discussing there during the break.
And well, right before the break, I said, you know, I went in and they laid out the binders on the table. And then the teacher came out and said, oh, there's this video with this and there's this video with that. And I actually reached out to the teacher. I found him through some other people. And I said, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, there's an online curriculum for the middle school. And I was like, they never told me that. Mm-hmm. I went into the office. They never told me. So like I said, this mom and I took it upon ourselves to go in and take notes and watch all the videos. And during the break, you know, Tiffany and I were talking about how it's crazy because you can't see what your child's learning. Some of this stuff is auto-generated based upon your child's responses. Mm-hmm. And then if the curriculum's in place, like the board passes, there's like a 21-step process to actually pass a curriculum into, you know, use into the schools. Mm-hmm. But this, with online curriculum, these vendors can update their curriculum anytime and it doesn't have to be repassed. So you may have looked at something, or your board member may have looked at something that is no longer what it is anymore.
Right. And the scary thing about it is these kids are utilizing this online curriculum predominantly while they're in school, mm-hmm. in the classroom. So the parents aren't seeing it. So they have no idea what their children are being subjected to. And here in Tennessee, and I know this is nationwide because this is like the number one application or program that uses this, and it's Clever. Yeah. And they have hundreds of applications, you know, embedded in Clever that the kids have access to. And I was watching some YouTube videos and they were actually teaching the people that were creating these applications how to embed SEL into their app that the children were going to be accessing. So I think that largely, for the most part, the parents are really unaware. I mean, you can't, if it's a digital curriculum, you can't go in and say, I want to see the curriculum, because as you just mentioned, if the curriculum is auto-generated, it hasn't even been created yet, because it's based on the way that the children answer the questions as they're moving through the online curriculum. And you know, we were speaking about this and I said, it's prolific. It's embedded in everything. I mean, in subjects that you wouldn't even think, not that it should be in any subject, but if you're teaching art and SEL is embedded in it, I know in the county that we live in the English curriculum, the language arts curriculum, it's embedded in that. So you're talking about feelings when you're supposed to be learning about nouns and pronouns and adjectives. And so have you seen that as well as you were looking and doing your research?
Oh, yes. And in fact, so before I left California, that's where I lived before I moved to Utah about 13 years ago, I got a teaching credential. And mm-hmm. so when I was a stay-at-home mom, I was doing all sorts of substitute teaching at the schools. And I can tell you, it's embedded even in physical education. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give you just an example. There's a program called Playworks, and I know they're everywhere. And, you know, they'll have a recite, like you can, you know, you have a basketball, you bring out a trash can in the middle, the kids practice, you know, dunking the ball in the trash can from where they're at, but you talk about recycling mm-hmm. while you're doing it. Again, this is just another, and you know, to most people, I think, yeah, it's great to recycle this. This is actually a UN program.
Right.
The UN agenda to get the kids to think more about environmentalism and saving our planet and valuing that more than their own individual rights.
Right. And that's one thing that I want to talk about today is, where does UNESCO fit into all of this, Lisa? I know that you've written articles about this and you've spoken about it in detail, but some of our listeners may not understand this. And I know for a lot of people listening, if you are unfamiliar and you've not done your research on these things, it sounds like way out there, but it's not. I mean, UNESCO actually has a school choice kit.
Yes.
And you can go in and read all about what they have planned for education, but explain to our listeners, where does UNESCO fit into all of this? What is their vision for education?
Well, their vision is to have a transformed world through education. You know, Yuri Bezmenov said it best when he said, you know, how do you take over a country? He's like, you pump Marxist-Leninist ideology into the soft heads of their youth, and you can take over anything that way, because the children are the future, right? Mm-hmm. It has a long cycle. If you can get the children, then you can change things for like 75 years. Mm-hmm. And so UNESCO is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. So obviously it's a UN agency. Interestingly enough, this is something that I found out through, you know, the stuff that I'm studying right now, was it originated actually and was kind of born out of this thing called the New Education Fellowship that was going on. And it was actually started by a theosophist and a Quaker. And they had a vision for, having children realizing their spirituality and their deity-ness. Because, they believe that we're all gods. Through education and really changing the social structure through that. And they were actually, many of them were in support of the League of Nations. This was before the UN was formed. Mm-hmm. And then they were actually the organization that birthed, even in Wikipedia, it says it was the midwife at the birth of UNESCO. But a lot of these people kind of went into that. So again, this is a very spiritual agenda.
Right.
And I think your listeners need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really believe that we need to act as a collective. And my friend James Lindsay is going to be coming out with some stuff I shared with him recently. And I'm going to be coming out with a video very soon on how this is a theory all centered around evolution.
Right.
So not only, obviously the SDGs are in place, right? There's 17 goals, the Sustainable Development Goals. And they think it's, a lot of them sound nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like no poverty and zero hunger. And, we'd all agree, yes, those are great things. But it's in the manner of which they want to accomplish those things through the globalization and domination of every system of society. That's the problem.
Right.
And the UN believes that they're basically God because they want to be the global government.
Mm-hmm.
They want to dictate what every person does. So UNESCO's fight for education is more about manipulating and brainwashing the minds of our youth to want to buy into these sustainable development goals. And they actually put out a paper called SEL for SDGs. And in there, and this is actually really scary, Tiffany, because in there they kind of manipulate Einstein's E equals MC squared equation. And they say E equals empathy, M is mindfulness, C 2 is actually compassion and critical inquiry, which is creating a critical consciousness in children in order to change the world. And because the thing is, they know that some of these sustainable development goals, right, we're talking about them wanting to go to like a zero carbon or, zero energy kind of, where we're doing away with fossil fuels. I mean, that's a very uncomfortable topic for a lot of people because it would mean they would have to give up their creature comforts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and also maybe these children have households where, their parents don't believe in that.
Right.
And so they know when they introduce this stuff to the kids, there's going to be a thing called cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
It's where your internal beliefs kind of conflict with something you're being asked to do. And it can actually be very traumatic. Mm-hmm. Especially for youth being asked to question the ideals of their parents and their culture,
mm-hmm.
Because this is very foundational to who they are. And so they're creating trauma through SEL. Let's just be real about that.
Yep.
And then on top of that, so this compassion and critical inquiry and the mindfulness part that, you have to think, ask yourself, what do cults do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They meditate. All the cults that have been on the fringe, they do a lot of meditation and transcendentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And they have them doing mindfulness activities at school.
Yep.
And then you think about they kind of have a weird definition of compassion, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say that in order to be empathetic, which is just really kind of sympathy, it's kind of like you understand where that person's coming from, right? That's what empathy is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of feel for their situation. Compassion is meaning you have to do something. So they say it's not enough to just, kind of feel for people in their situation. You have to do something to fix it. And the way that they do that is they point out this, with the critical inquiry, they point out all the flaws in the system. And they say, these flaws are due to misogyny and patriarchy and, white supremacy culture and, these terrible, terrible things that are wrong with our system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you, but you can be an activist. You can change the system. And that's where UNESCO really comes in. They want to use our children as activists.
Right.
For their sustainable development goals and for basically overturning capitalism for what they want to create around the world, which is a well-being economy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they've been deeply embedded in this for a long time, too. And I think that's something else that the general public may not understand is that none of this is new. they've been marching toward these goals for quite some time. It's just that the majority of the general public, I think, is just now waking up to this agenda. And it's a lot. I think people get really easily overwhelmed when this information is, you know, brought to the forefront because it just seems so prolific, as we said, you know, earlier, and pervasive, I guess. And so let's also talk, Lisa, as we're talking about how this is spilling over into everything, about the college and career readiness, because I know here in Tennessee, we have the Workforce Innovation Act. And this is something that Tennessee is deeply invested in. Our governor spent $500 million promoting this initiative here in Tennessee. And a lot of people think that this is like the VOTEC, you know, of yesteryear. But this isn't what this actually is. Can you tell our listeners what is really behind this college and career readiness of today? I've written about it, but I want them to hear your perspective on this.
Right. Well, I think what your listeners have to understand is that obviously the goal of education is to get children ready for college and career. Mm-hmm. Or is that the goal of education, right? We can riff about that too, right? I mean, because it used to be that we would give them knowledge, right?
We'd
kind of point them out there in the world and we'd say, you figure out what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're having even kindergartners think about what they want to go into the workforce for.
Right. And it's about
why education came into being, these, you know, public schools came into, you know, the people behind that really were just trying to create drones for the workforce.
And you
kind of look at that whole thing. And so in that respect, I do agree with the school choice imperative, right, to kind of have school be a more fluid thing that, you know, I think kids need direction and they need discipline. I mean, I think that schooling is good for that, to kind of, you know, hone that discipline. But I mean, the way that it was set up was not to create free thinkers,
right?
It was to create people for the workforce.
Right.
But college and career readiness now, you know, the school counselors kind of handle this part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they set up what they call the learning objectives for students to go out, you know, they meet with the kids and they say, you know, what are your learning objectives? And actually they set the tone for the whole school of the learning objectives in regards to college and career readiness. And my friend Alvin Louie over at Courage is a Habit has been doing a great job exposing how that has all changed for the Association for School Counselors, which is ASCA. And they are complete 100% activists. I mean, I actually picked up a few of their books and was just horrified at the things I found in there. He has videos of them talking about this. I mean, they literally view their role as preparing children to be activists.
Mm-hmm.
And to change the culture of the school to be this, you know, with social emotional learning and using people's pronouns and doing all these things. So their goal is to, you know, they bring these kids in and then they set up these programs and the CTEC programs and everything else has been captured as well. All of these leadership training stuff that they do for kids for college and career readiness is actually been captured.
Mm-hmm.
And now every single leadership training that I've looked into is now teaching this systems awareness, what they call it. It's just another word to say critical consciousness. We were just talking about earlier. It's to get them to view the system as a whole and that it's broken and they need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondarily, this is the most important part, to measure college and career readiness, we have to collect data.
Yep.
And so it used to be on academics,
mm-hmm.
Right? Does the child know enough about math? Does the child know enough about science to be ready to go out there and tackle college in the real world, right?
Right.
But now, because we've inserted SEL into this, social emotional learning, we're also having to measure their beliefs and attitudes. And so, again, this cements this in place, as you were saying. Like, it makes it so that even if you opt out mm-hmm. of, say, a curriculum like Second Step, this is still pervasive in schools because they have to do it as a part of the college and career readiness standards.
Right.
And I think the other point I want to make is that when we talk about college and career readiness and we're preparing kids for these things, what do those areas look like right now? College, you know, we just had all these panels right in Congress. The colleges are woke. They're that's kids go off to college, they come back completely different people, ready to tackle the system downright and defeat capitalism and culture. And then the actual businesses are actually going to start hiring based on social emotional skills because they're in line and devoted to environmental, social, and governance scores. So the problem is like if they have to hire based on these soft skills, the schools have to teach them. You know, it just cements this whole thing in place. You cannot get away from it. We have to start dismantling and taking some of this stuff out. So I would recommend people in states start actually tackling the legislation you already have. You know, if you're a legislator, you shouldn't be passing more things. You should be looking at what you have and saying, what can we take out?
Exactly. And, you know, the scary thing about this, in my opinion, and Charlotte is a bit warned about this. She warned about it starting in elementary school, you know, and it is. I was speaking to a school board member a couple of years ago, and he was telling me that this is being implemented in as early as third grade now. So what they're doing is they're pigeonholing elementary school children into a career pathway in elementary school, which, I mean, we have five children and our youngest is 11. Sometimes elementary school children don't even know what they want to eat for lunch that day, let alone what they want to be when they grow up, you know, in the third grade. So the fact that they are customizing an education based on the child's education, based on what career path that they feel like they need to be put on, that is unbelievable that we are pigeonholing these kids. Because what if they say little Johnny's going to work in a factory and he's going to screw rivets into this particular part right here? Well, what if his whole entire school career is based around what he needs to know to do that, and then when he graduates he doesn't want to do that job and he's not been trained to do anything else? So we are really destroying our children's opportunities to be able to be a productive citizen if their career pathways are being designated. I mean, it sounds like communist China, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think, and it's a means to an end.
Yeah.
Right. We really want this so that learning can become quote unquote personalized. And so they can bring in something called personalized competency based learning. While you're basically tailoring the education to the child. Well, I actually, had the opportunity to go speak at the UN, about a year and a half ago. And I actually spoke about this. There were some pro-family organizations there that asked me to speak against kind of what the UN was doing. And I made the point, you know, we're starting now with education. You know, we're going online with education. That's the other problem with school choice as well. It's gonna be a lot digital. But right now we've got teachers teaching social emotional skills. And, you know, we have assessments and all that. What happens when all of that is controlled by AI?
Right.
And we're talking about feedback loops and learning is personalized. Well, the computer is trained to get to a particular goal, right? To have the student answer the question, realize where their deficiencies are, and then feed information back to them to get them to that goal. Well, if that goal is complete collectivist leftist thought, then that's a pretty scary proposition.
Absolutely. And on that thought, it's a scary thought, we're going to take a quick break, and I hope you'll join us right back here with our guest, Lisa Logan.
You're listening to your local radio,
101.7 WKOM Columbia.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people. The place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship. Beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia. Owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist. Assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
This is Del Kennedy. A few years ago, my wife Mary Susan and I decided to redo our study. I wanted the same comforting earth color green my grandmother had in her study when I was growing up. We didn't even have a sample. Mary Susan went to see Zeke Maddox at Columbia Paint Wall Cover. He had my grandmother's color card on file from 1959. Today, her great-great-grandchildren play and laugh under that comforting green. Columbia Paint and Wall Cover, Zeke Maddox, 931-388-2806.
Hello, it's Tiffany Boyd with Free Your Children, and we are excited about our new home here at WKOM FM 101.7. Tune in on Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7 p.m. as we share the truth in love about education. We will be discussing parental rights, constitutional rights, and educational rights, and we hope you will join us. You can also subscribe to the Free Your Children podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Maury County Mayor Sheila Butt, and I want to welcome you to one of the most fun and exciting weeks in Columbia in Maury County, known as the Mule Capital of the World. This year's Mule Day events have evolved from Breeders' Day, which was a one-day livestock show and mule marketing event in the 1840s. It has now become an almost week-long celebration that begins with a wagon train and includes craft shows, old-fashioned log pulling, bluegrass music, a nationally recognized state auctioneer contest, a liars contest, and a Mule Day parade on Saturday at 11. All of this and more is presided over by a lovely Mule Day queen and her court. In Maury County, we value our community traditions and faith, family, and freedom. We also have a strong team of people here pulling together. We're Team Maury, and we're glad you're here. Make yourself at home and enjoy the festivities with all of us.
Welcome back to Free Your Children. We are joined today by our guest, Lisa Logan. Lisa, we were talking about college and career readiness and AI and all those wonderful topics that make you cringe. And I want to shift gears really quickly before we have to end our segment. And I definitely want to talk about Every Student Succeeds Act and how this affects education, including, you know, public and private education, because as you know, school choice is sweeping the nation. We're battling it here in Tennessee, and you know, parents and taxpayers have been told over and over again that private education is not going to be affected with federal strings. What do you say to that?
I say that that's not true. Just like, you know, you've heard me spout a bunch of research about all the other topics we've talked about so far. I went down the rabbit hole with school choice. Mm-hmm. I, like you, was a follower of Shala Disserbeat. She was actually one of the first people I was introduced to. And I was like, well, why does she not like school choice? And I started looking into all these things. And actually, you know, fortunate for me, I was surrounded when I came out about social emotional learning, I was surrounded by a bunch of people who had fought Common Core.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. They came to educate me about all sorts of things. And specifically about the Every Student Succeeds Act. This was a legislation passed in 2015. Mm-hmm. There's so many great people to learn from on this. Mm-hmm. Anita Hoag.
Yep. Alice Linehan. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they were warriors on the wall.
Yeah.
They said doing the same thing with Common Core, because, and this is the thing, they always make it sound like it's a great thing,
mm-hmm.
right? They, oh, we're going to nationalize education and we're going to have all these great standards. And what ESSA did was it linked federal money to state standards. So what every state has to do is they have to submit a state plan on how they're going to meet the criteria laid out in the Every Student Succeeds Act. So the Every Student Succeeds Act did things like linking K-12 to post-secondary education. It did things like, you know, it was an actual extension of like No Child Left Behind and Goals 2000. There were laws passed before then that made it so that there was kind of standards you had to meet in order to get the money from the government. So the people think that this public money going into private education is going to be any different. I don't know how they think that, because this has been enforced across the board. So I know this because I actually serve on a charter board here in Utah, and the school my child goes to. When all this stuff kind of went down, I was like, I want to have a pulse on what's going into my kid's school.
Right.
So I decided to become a board member. And, you know, I see because charters take federal money, they have to comply with federal standards.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wonderful friend, Jaquel, she was one of the warriors who fought Common Core, came up with this amazing triangle, and she calls it the tripod of control. Right, you have money, right, and with that money, any kind of public money, as it should be, comes with public accountability. What are you using that money for, right? So when you have that, you have to collect what data, right? You have to collect data, and then that data then informs what assessments the kids take. It informs what kind of curricula you have to buy. It informs the qualifications of the teachers that serve there. It literally informs everything. And then when you have those standards in place, or the assessments in place, I should say, for that, then you have the standards. And so, I mean, this standards, assessments, and accountability tripod is what holds our whole system to measuring our children's and the system itself's compliance to identity Marxism. And so this public money, you know, they keep saying it's not going to do anything. Well, we already see there's creep, right? The people who've passed this before us, look at West Virginia.
Right.
They're in a battle. All the homeschool people were duped.
Yep.
They said, oh, you can be classified as something else. You can do this. No, we're already seeing the fights happen. And this is why they do incrementalism, right?
Right.
Because they only pass it a couple places here. Mm-hmm. And then, do you think they're going to come down with the hammer before it's passed everywhere?
Right. No.
They're not going to, because it's going to deter people from passing these bills.
Right.
So, of course, they're going to say, oh, you know, it's just like Obamacare, right? And my friend Deb Thielman has done really great work. She's at Owl of Athena on Twitter.
Okay.
Or at @_Thielman. And, you know, she's like, this is exactly like Obamacare.
Yep.
You know, like, or universal basic income.
Exactly.
I don't think this is, you know, you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Oh, no. You know, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Interestingly enough, one of the major funders of school choice is Walmart. We keep saying, you know, you're going to Walmart education, right? What did Walmart do when it came into cities and towns? It, you know, yeah, you had other choices there, but it demolished all of them. It took over all of the choices and became the only game in town. And so this is what's going to happen with school choice. It's going to be online. It's going to be decentralized. They're going to do away with public education. They're going to do away with locally elected school boards. And they're going to make it so there's an actual thing called the Internet of Education. And it's going to measure that personalized competency-based education we were talking about earlier across the board.
Right.
UNESCO is involved with this. The White House is involved with this. Walmart's involved. I mean, come on. This is where they're going with this.
Yeah. Their fundamental goal is to make all forms of education government-controlled. Then they control it all. And there is no freedom. There's nowhere for anyone that wants true freedom to run to at that point. And that's the reason why the homeschool community in Tennessee has fought back against this particular school choice legislation, you know, as much as we can. But we have major players here that have lots of money, you know, promoting this agenda. We have Americans for Prosperity. Then we have Alliance Defending Freedom, promoting these fake parental rights bills. And then, of course, ALEC is tied to all three. tell us, we briefly mentioned ALEC a minute ago. Tell us what you know about those organizations and how they come into play with all of this.
Well, they're actually linked to the Koch Institute, K-O-C-H, which is Charles, I can't remember his brother's name, Koch. I think it's David or something like that. And I think because in the past they've donated to Republican candidates, people kind of have a favorable view of them. But I also have put out tweets that show articles where they say we shouldn't take critical race theory out of education. Koch actually funds a thing called 4.0 schools through their arm called Stand Together. 4.0 schools funds all of these liberatory education school choice models. This is like critical education, like critical consciousness education, free area education on steroids. They have a thing called woke kindergarten, where they teach kids the colors and teach them about oppression while they're doing that. I mean, this is the people behind school choice.
Right.
And I think people
exactly.
have to understand that. They are literally trying to usher in a model called whole school, whole child, whole community, where you just mentioned it earlier, where the state's going to control the medical decisions for your kids. They're going to bring all this medical intervention into schools, and schools are going to become like mini hospitals.
Yeah, I've written about that. Our state of Tennessee is fully invested in the community school model, and I've penned an article about that. And just today, I released an article where I connect ALEC, AFP, Americans for Prosperity, and Alliance Defending Freedom together to hopefully give the general public a better idea of who these organizations are and why they're working so hard to influence education and, you know, promote initiatives across the nation, because it's not just in Tennessee. You're in Utah. We're in Tennessee. You know, I'm connected to people all over the United States, and we're all fighting the same fight. And I really do appreciate the work that you're doing there. Lisa, an hour is never long enough. It's like going down a never-ending rabbit hole. So I would love to have you on again. I want to say thank you. Keep doing all the things that you're doing and keep speaking out. Tell our listeners where they can find you again.
You can find me on YouTube at Parents of Patriots. You can find me on Twitter at I Am Lisa Logan. And you can find me on Substack at lisalogan.substack.com.
Fantastic. I want to thank Safe Storage for sponsoring today's show again, and I want to leave you with this. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and out and put on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. We love you, hear it for your children, but remember, Jesus loves you so much more. Thank you.